Deutschlandfunk, Interview. What can you tell us about the current situation in the Tigray region?
The government admitted that there were rocket attacks, and so this indicates that the conflict has taken a new twist, a new turn. In the last 10 days, the government was saying this was just a clean surgical operation aimed at ensuring the rule of law and bringing the criminals to justice. But this incident will change that.
Who is responsible for the fighting?
Currently, the fighting is happening between forces loyal to the Tigray region government and the federal government. But the TPLF is also saying that there are involvements of Eritrean troops. And there has been a report by Reuters interviewing the refugees that flee to Sudan, in which they have testified that the Eritrean soldiers were also on the ground. So this is potentially involving now the Tigray region state and the federal government of the Ethiopian army and the Eritrean army involvement in this conflict, which would increasingly become very complex.
Are there evidences for this involvement of Eritrean troops?
All sides are denying. The Eritrean government denied. The Ethiopian government also denied involving the Eritrean armed forces. The Tigray government, the Tigray state government, insists that they are now involved. Also, it's the eyewitnesses that, you know, the refugees that are already on the Sudanese border. Given the entire dynamics, the political circumstances in that region, it is not an unlikely scenario that Eritrea gets involved in this conflict. The Eritrean government has a very keen interest in removing TPLF from the regional power. And so it's not an unlikely outcome if we see Eritrea involved in this war.
What is this conflict about?
TPLF had a monopoly on power for 28 years until the prime minister came to power. And when he came, power shifted to his party and he dislodged the TPLF from the central power, from the central government in 2018. The prime minister decided to dismantle the party, the old party that had the TPLF in it as a coalition, and he created his own party. TPLF became an opposition party located in the northern part of the country, Tigray Regional State. And COVID came in March, and Ethiopian government postponed a much-anticipated general elections. They have postponed it indefinitely without further, you know, inclusive consultation. So TPLF said, you are postponing the election illegally, so I am going to conduct my own regional election on the 9th of September. Of course, the TPLF won the election. You know, the next day after that, they delegitimized the federal government.
Who is right and who is wrong in this conflict?
You know, both of them have reasons. This is essentially a political problem. Now, they are trying to solve a political problem through a military means. This should have been solved politically. The prime minister cannot be exonerated. He has made a lot of mistakes, particularly, you know, in the initial times, he sidelined the TPLF in his peace negotiation with Eritrea, for example. The TPLF also started to act like a very hostile opposition group. And so they both bear their own responsibility for this. But it began from the prime minister's very, very reckless act of sidelining the TPLF from the central power, from also the peace deal with Eritrea.
The prime minister won the Nobel Peace Prize for the peace pact with Eritrea. Do you see his reputation damaged?
I think his reputation is damaged. This war or this conflict or this military operation, however you want to refer to it, was the undoing of his reputation as a peacemaker. Now he is being portrayed as a warmonger. So the two don't go together.
Ethiopia's national army is one of Africa's largest. its best fighters are from Tigray, and much of its hardware is also there under the Northern Command. Given this situation, what do you expect for the next weeks?
Well, as I said, what happened changes the dynamic. The government said that it's a rocket attack in the neighboring Amhara state. This shows now that there is a balance of power and that indeed the TP-LF may be in control of some heavy weaponry, including artillery and rockets. That changes the conflict. Due to the likelihood participation of Eritrea, we are looking at now a confrontation where three locations for a balance of power are within this conflict. So what I expect in the next week or so, unless the parties succumb to the pressure, there is a global pressure for a ceasefire, immediate de-escalation. Unless they listen and unless they come to the negotiation table, this is going to be one of the most devastating wars in which no winner is going to emerge anytime soon.
Are you concerned that the fighting could destabilize the wider Horn of Africa region?
It does. Why it will destabilize the Horn of Africa is because of the geopolitics in that region. Eritrea, Djibouti, Sudan, Somalia, they have their own historical background in which conflict is the bedrock. One year it's Eritrea versus Djibouti, the next year it's Djibouti versus Sudan, and now it's Somalia versus, Djibouti. So alliances shift in this very volatile Horn of Africa. And this conflict has a potential to create new alliances, to destabilize old alliances and suck in countries into it. Regionally, it will have this impact. Locally in Ethiopia, what we are seeing now, there is a massive purge of the Tigrayan people elsewhere in the country. The government is massively arresting a lot of Tigrayan people. And also there is a historical animosity between, the regional governments of the Amhara state and the Tigray state, neighboring states. And the Amhara regional state is involved in this conflict by sending its own troops, by adding its own troops to the federal government's troops. So this is going to further destabilize Ethiopia inwards.
Who is able to get both sides at the table? What do you expect from the international community?
The U.S. has an absolute leverage, but unfortunately, the U.S. is currently under the leadership of Trump. His Africa policy is very much disoriented.
Well, it's an ending leadership.
An ending leadership, but it will take 70 days, 6-7 weeks until the Biden administration came to power. And in those days, the damage will have been done already because the ceasefire has to be immediately implemented. The EU is raising red flags. They are releasing statements after statements. I don't think they have that much of the leverage to enforce both parties to stop the conflict at the moment, unless there is a very serious threat with sanctions for both parties involved in the conflict. There are some attempts from the government of Germany itself. They have reached out to the foreign ministries of UAE and Saudi Arabia. These two countries have some influence over Prime Minister Abiy and also Isaias Afwerki. So there's several leverage over there, but none as powerful as the U.S. government would have been. As I said, the Trump administration does not have a discernible foreign policy in Africa.
Mrs. Lemmer, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.